At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
I'm really excited to welcome back to the Dan Bongino interview show, which is always on off every week, Dinesh D'Souza, who was one of our most popular guests ever on the interview show. There is no one who knows more about leftist nonsense, debunking leftist myths, socialism, all this other crap than Dinesh D'Souza. We had a great interview last time about his book, United States of Socialism. I wanted him back today. He has two movies out, Infidel, which is a feature film, and Trump Card. We're going to talk to him about it today. Before we get to that, we have great sponsors today. We have our friends always at ExpressVPN. Get a VPN today. ExpressVPN.com. Protect your online data from prying eyes. They're always the best. But today's also sponsored by our friends at Magic Spoon. Listen, growing up, one of the best parts of the morning routine was what? You know it, cereal. But then you start growing up, you look on the back and you're like, I'm not eating all that stuff, the sugar and junk in there. Wouldn't you like to get back to cereal that tasted good, was good for you? Check it out. Magic Spoon. You get zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving, and it's delicious. 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. Tastes amazing. It's honestly too good to be true. It's true. It's real. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carbon, GMO-free, but it does have a problem. Can't say problems during a spot. It does. So good, my family eats the heck out of it, and we run out of it too quick, and we got to order more. Go to magicspoon.com/Bongino. Grab a variety pack and try it today. You're going to love it. Be sure to use our promo code Bongino at checkout to get free shipping. It's going to be a big hit in your house. Magic Spoon is so confident their product is backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/Bongino. Use the code Bongino for free shipping. We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring the podcast. Again, magicspoon.com/Bongino. Stuff is delicious. Use promo code Bongino for free shipping. All right, now on to, I already did this interview, so I know what's in it, a spectacular interview with my good friend Dinesh D'Souza about his new movie, Infidel, and Trump Card. Check this out. All right, welcoming back to the Dan Bongino Show, one of our most popular guests by popular demand, Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, thanks for taking the time to join us again today. We appreciate it.
Happy to do it and looking forward to it.
Yeah, we had a great conversation last time, Dinesh. As I say, I've always enjoyed your videos on Facebook and YouTube where you just, with the calmest of faces, dismantle these dopey liberal arguments. I tend to be a little more passionate, which is not always the best thing. I'm trying to follow your model a little bit. But you have two new movies out. You have one out right now, which is incredible. The reviews have been phenomenal, which is really weird because it's associated with you. So even the liberals who haven't seen it or tried to trash it have not been successful, which means it must be extra good. The movie is Infidel. The actor is the very famous Jim Caviezel, a great man who, I have to tell you, Dinesh, changed my life in his performance in Passion of the Christ, which really reintroduced me to religion. So just tell me a minute, how did this start? What's the movie about? And how the heck did you get a feature film by a conservative like yourself made in Hollywood and get it to be successful?
Well, it's been a dream of mine and my wife, Debbie, to do a feature film. I've been kind of the specialist of the documentary. And I think it's probably fair to say that along with Michael Moore, I'm at the top of that genre. My new political documentary, Trump Card, will come out in October next month. The documentary is the kind of cousins, it's small potatoes in Hollywood. The real gold standard of Hollywood is the feature film. And that's where Hollywood feels invincible, impregnable. And of course, as you know, they do a lot of propaganda in their feature films. So the villains of the feature films are usually, you know, the businessman or the patriarchal dad or the small town sheriff or the pastor who's really a secret member of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, there's a cartoonish element to all this, but basically they make people like us into their bad guys. And we need to make films that compete with them, but are really good ones. And I wanted to make a mainstream movie, not a niche Christian movie, not a niche conservative movie. And so really, Debbie and I sketched out the plot of a patriotic Christian American guy who gets entrapped in the politics of radical Islam. Notice that in our movie, the bad guy is an Islamic terrorist, not a Russian, not an Eastern European Hollywood style, but a real kind of like in the real world, you know?
Right.
And so we made a political thriller, pretty gritty. It has a lot of bad language. It's pretty rough, a lot of violence, R-rated. So the idea here is to make a film that is in the culture, that looks at the world as it is, speaks the language that people talk. And so I think that's the reason for its success. It's taken people by surprise. It's even taken the critics by surprise. They thought we'd do some kind of anodyne film, some Manichaean, all the Christians are good and all the Muslims are evil, some kind of silly morality tale. But we didn't do that. We made a really good movie, and Jim Caviezel helped us make it. He was like, listen, you got to be real. That was his phrase. You got to be real. And I think this film is real, and that's part of the reason it's doing well.
Well, Jim Caviezel is just an incredible, incredible actor. I kind of said to you, you never say on a show what you spoke about before the show, people, but I was talking to you a little bit before the show, and I said to you, and I mean it, Jim really changed my life. His performance as Jesus Christ in Passion of the Christ is mind-blowing. I mean, I believe he's speaking in Aramaic, the movie. I mean, the performance is so transformative that I had been a loosely affiliated Catholic Christian for a long time. I watched that film. It was so touched. I'll never forget. I went with my wife, my sister-in-law, and my brother, and I walked out of there, and I knew life would be different. His performance was amazing. This is not a small-time actor. This isn't some, you know, ham and egger you got out of a club. This is a real professional Hollywood pro who's done major films, and his performance in this film is just terrific. And if you'll allow me for a minute, I'm going to play this again. I warned you before, but he did an appearance, Jim, on Fox and Friends. I believe it was a Sunday ago or two Sundays ago. And the interview started off, you know, about the movie. It was good. But at the end, Dinesh, he goes on this two-minute just kind of rant that I have to tell you is one of the most powerful things I've heard on TV in a long time. We'll take a quick one to listen to this for the audience for now. And on the other side of this, I'll get your take on it. Check this out.
He said that, and he said, now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this. But every lesson in history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is a specter our well-meaning Christian liberal friends, our priests, bishops, and pastors refuse to face. That their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives us no choice between peace and war, only between fight and surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we will have to face the final demand, the final ultimatum. And what then? When Satan has told the people of this world, he knows what our answer is going to be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of his cold war, and someday when the time is right to deliver his final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because you see, by then we will have been so weakened from within, spiritually, morally, economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better red than dead, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know it and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Ridge have refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools, and our beloved dead who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis did not die in vain. Where then lies the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all, that you and I have the courage to tell our enemies there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which evil must not advance. In the words of Reagan, evil is powerless if the good are unafraid.
So I heard that. My wife was making pancakes and my jaw dropped to the floor about Reagan and surrendering and the real fights going on. You know Jim better than I do. That must be the kind of guy he really is. He certainly wasn't faking it there.
Well, this is the reason he's so perfect for this role. In fact, when we came up with the idea for the movie, my wife said, Debbie, she said, you know, this is a role for Jim Caviezel. And we raised this with our director, an Iranian-American guy named Cyrus Naraste. And Cyrus says, well, he goes, number one, I don't think we can afford Jim. too much money. And so we actually offered Jim Caviezel a character role in the movie. But when Jim Caviezel read the script, he called up the director and he said, "Hey, who's playing the lead?" And we said, "Well, we're auditioning a bunch of guys." And he goes, "Well, why not me?" And we were like, "Why not indeed?" So right then and there, we cut a deal with Caviezel, and it couldn't be a better spokesman for the movie because the character reflects that fanaticism and passion and determination to stand up for his faith against all costs and be willing to pay a price for it. I think the passion had a big impact on Jim as well. It deepened his faith, and it makes him really the ideal missionary, I would say, for this film.
You know, Dinesh, that that video I played of Jim, I put it on my Facebook page, was one of the top 10 most viewed Facebook posts in the entire country. I got more emails about Jim's appearance there. I was kind of laughing with one of the PR guys. I'm like, that's probably the greatest publicity ever. Was just this appearance was just so amazing. It shows you the power of social media as well. Before I move on to some of your other projects you're working on now, regarding the culture war in Hollywood, I want the audience to be crystal clear on something you said. It's a bigger point that Hollywood doesn't always message outright. They don't put a billboard up like, this is a pro-abortion movie. The messages are subtle and fit in. Like, I always think of like Dirty Dancing. Like, my gosh, there was a political agenda there? I don't know the political agenda, but if you watch the movie now, knowing what you know, what happens? A woman gets an abortion. Oh, she's going to die. It's really bad. Clearly the message there is, you know, we need this safe, legal, and rare thing. And then there's another part of the movie where the waiter, who's a real jerk, who impregnates the woman, gives a book to the main character. And I think the book is Fountainhead. And it's clearly like a libertarian conservative book. And she like throws the book at him like, you idiot. In other words, the guy who impregnated the woman who got the unsafe abortion is really one of those crazy libertarian conservatives. It's the kind of thing that when you're you and I, you see it. But when you're not, and you're not hip to this stuff and you don't do it for a living, you're getting slowly getting indoctrinated, no?
You know, I was watching the movie The Hills Have Eyes, a horror film that goes back now at least a couple of decades.
Oh, yeah.
And I remembered it. I'd seen it. It's kind of just a horror film about a bunch of guys who go out west and then they get trapped by all these mutants. And it's only when I rewatched the film that I realized they're portraying these guys as sort of right-wing Republicans who get kind of what's coming to them. And they're obviously supporters of nuclear power. So sure enough, the nuclear explosions have caused these mutants. So it's sort of a karma type of film. But I completely missed that political element the first time I saw it. So it's interesting that when we go back, this has been going on for a while now. I mean, if you think of something like even the gay marriage debate, and some conservatives are like shocked, like, how did we suddenly lose the gay marriage debate seemingly overnight? Well, Hollywood's been fighting this culture war since, you know, Ellen came out and 200 sitcoms and all these movies. And so while the left has been hammering these themes home, our side has been focusing only on one corner of the battlefield, which is who's going to get elected this November.
Yeah, I mean, remember Murphy Brown, Dan Quayle dared to say like, hey, why are we celebrating this? I mean, we have data that a strong, solid father, mother home has been, you know, I'm not saying every scenario, sometimes you can't prevent it. There are bad marriages, there are violent people, but we shouldn't be actually celebrating this. And Dan Quayle was mocked, was laughed. Oh, what an idiot. You're not really hip, brother. You need to get with the program. I mean, that's how they do this, right? They grind us down over time.
And the latest is cuties. You know, essentially their idea is to break down one barrier after the other. And they started off with, let's legitimize adultery. And then they go, let's move into the gay stuff. And then it's the transgender stuff. And then it's teen sexuality. And now it's basically, you know, kids acting in lewd and sort of lecherous ways. So pedophilia is like the last frontier. And ultimately what's going on is a systematic assault on what can loosely be called Judeo-Christian moral decency.
Well, that's why I really appreciate what you've done. And I just to kind of, before we get into Trump card and other stuff, I just got to take a quick break in a second here, but we need, and we've done a very poor job on the culture side through the years of recognizing that. And I'd almost say we've recognized it potentially too late. I hope not. But this is why the importance of what Dinesh said earlier, folks, we have to get into feature films because docs are great. You have one of the most lucrative documentaries ever. Everybody saw that. But really, liberals weren't going to see it. You may actually get liberals who hear about this movie from their friends go to see it. And although the movie's not overtly played, it's an entertaining film. People love it. But that's the way you do it, where the message is in there, where you're like, hey, you know what? Now I can kind of relate to this guy a little bit, despite the overwhelming, you know, indoctrination by the left. In other words, we have to get into the culture outside of the way my friend says it. Sorry to belabor this point, but he's like, we got to stop going into a methadone clinic and lecturing people about the Laffer curve. Like, it's just not the place for it. You know, there's other ways to do that.
And we have to go beyond critiquing Hollywood to actually doing what they do, beating them at their own game. And that's, I think, what makes Infidel kind of exciting. Now, Caviezel, in one of his other interviews, I think this was with Shannon Bream, she goes, well, tell us about this movie. And his first line was, he goes, this isn't a candy-ass Christian movie, his first line. That, yeah. And she looked a little shocked. But I think what he was trying to say is that if we're going to make movies that people watch, they've got to make movies that sound the way people talk, that show scenes that really happen. You can't go through the movie looking, you know, to see if the word damn is said and strike it out. That's a niche movie that's made for a church audience. We've made a movie for the mainstream audience. And by the way, Rotten Tomatoes, 90% from the audience, but 60% from the critics. Now, I'm not used to that. I'm used to like 5% from the critics, and that's how I get my Razzie Awards for worst actor, worst director, blah, 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 which I'm very proud of, by the way. But I was pleasantly surprised that they have taken this movie seriously and respectfully.
Well, Dinesh, you being an academic, and you certainly understand curves and the grading mechanism, a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes for a movie you're associated with is really a 98% for anyone else. So I just want to put that the movie's been getting tremendous reviews. Jim is just, I mean, he's a scene stealer. He just is. Like I said, The Passion of the Christ, other movies he's been in as well. He's been in major movies with J-Lo and everything. He's been, this guy, this is not some small time guy. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm interviewing Dinesh D'Souza about his new movie, Infidel. We'll get the Trump card in a minute on the other side. We'll be right back. All right. Thank you for your patience. It was a quick break during the interview with Dinesh D'Souza. This show is also brought to you by, we open up the show every day with them, ExpressVPN. Listen, using the internet without ExpressVPN is a big mistake. It's like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. Why would you do that? Internet service providers like Comcast and Verizon, they know every single website you visit. Do you know that? ISPs can sell this information to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. No good. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity can't be seen by anyone. It's as easy as closing that bathroom door. Fire up the app, click one button, you're ready to rock and roll, rated number one by CNET, Wired, and The Verge. We talk about this VPN all the time at the beginning of my show. What do I say? Protect your online activity from prying eyeballs. ExpressVPN.com/Bongino works on phones, laptops, even routers. Everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. We use ExpressVPN here on all our devices at home. Secure your online activity today from those prying eyeballs by visiting expressvpn.com/Bongino. We love them. That's expressvpn.com/Bongino. Don't wait. Get an extra 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Bongino. Now back to my interview with Dinesh D'Souza. All right, we're back with Dinesh D'Souza. So, Dinesh, you have another project. You're a busy guy. I don't know where you find time to sleep exactly, but you have another project you're working on, another film called Trump Card. I have an idea what this is about, but why don't you lay it out for the audience? I got a couple of questions for you afterwards.
Well, Trump Card is loosely based on my book, The United States of Socialism, which, Dan, you and I have talked about. And books are different than films. You know, a book is an argument. It lays out a sort of intellectual case. I also like to provide extensive references if people want to learn more. It's all there in the book. But a movie is an emotional narrative. So this movie is the story of socialism. But it's not a historical. There's a little bit of history in the movie, but most of it is about the unique type of socialism that the left is pushing now. The left says, look, we're not trying to be like Stalin and Mao. We don't want authoritarian socialism. We want democratic socialism. Our model isn't China or Russia. It's not even Venezuela. It's Scandinavia. And moreover, we don't just care about class, the rich against the poor. We care about black against white, male against female, straight against gay, legal against illegal. So this is, I call this identity socialism. So I lay out in the movie who these people are, what they're trying to do to us. They're trying to make us ultimately the United States of Socialism. What that would mean, how it is not just an economic program, but ultimately a program of imposed conformity. They want to turn you and me, Dan, into worms. And how do we fight back? How is Trump fighting back? What makes the Trump card, let's say, different from the Reagan card? And so there's a discussion in this movie about not only the bad ideas and tactics of the left, but how the right needs to fight differently, not because we are immoderate people, but because we are moderate people in an immoderate situation.
You know, I think the Trump card is an accurate way to describe what he's done. He's disrupted. I did a show on Friday. I was making a joke. I had a segment called the Dan Bongino Theory of Trump the Disruptor. I called it the third sequel to Conan. Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer, Trump the Disruptor, number three. How he's so unusual. And I used an analogy towards graduate school psychology work and behavioral learning where, you know, you have a response-reward relationship. You put, you know, a couple quarters in the Coke machine, you get a Coke. Well, when the Coke doesn't come out, what happens? You get an extinction burst of behavior. You kick the machine, you scream at an inanimate machine like it's going to listen to you. Everybody does it. We can't help it. It's built into our gene code. And my theory on Trump is the response reward with the media, Dinesh, has been accuse every Republican of being a racist, xenophobe. You've heard it all, I'm sure. And the reward is whatever they're doing, they stop doing. They don't appoint a Supreme Court justice. They stop a piece of legislation. And the Trump card, I think in your movie's title, is that Trump just doesn't care about that. He just plows straight ahead. So the media is in this 24-hour extinction burst where they're like, wait, we put the quarters in the machine and you're not giving us our Coke. I mean, is that a crazy analysis or am I onto something here?
Well, let's think about why and how he does it. First of all, Trump has been immersed in the culture for a long time. Think about The Apprentice. Think about the roles he's played in pop culture long before he got into politics. And I think that gives him a savvy about the culture that a lot of Republican politicians don't have. The second is that I attribute this to New York, and you have this too, Dan. Trump is basically a scrapper and a mud wrestler, and he's unbelievably good at it. Reagan was sort of above the fray. Trump is in the fray. And just think of the way that he puts labels on people that they cannot get out of, even Mini Mike. You know, I think he has so insulted Mike Bloomberg, so played with the guy's Napoleonic complex that Mike Bloomberg is like trying to put half of his dough into Florida to beat Trump out of simple personal bitterness over called out on standing on a box. So sure. Now the left tries to put names on Trump, but think of it. They haven't managed to do anything. I mean, none of their labels has even stuck. They throw all the stuff at him. Stormy Daniels, what about this? What about that? He goes, what about it? What else you got? You know, so Trump has this amazing ability to sort of rise above the fray and keep his side with him. I mean, if it was another Republican candidate, the Republicans would have ganged up on him and knifed him. But with Trump, that hasn't happened. Trump has been able to hold the loyalty of his side. So it gives him a certain unique power. And I think the left doesn't, at this point, they just don't know what to do with him.
We're going to take another quick break. But on the other side of this break, I want to talk to Dinesh. This is what I hate about my interviews with you. You're so smart that whatever I plan to ask, it's thrown in the garbage because you bring some up that's so brilliant. I have to ask you about this pop culture thing. We'll be right back with Dinesh D'Souza, Infidel. Go see it. Trump card. Go see it. You're going to love it. Be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a special treat for you. Dinesh was kind enough to provide a 15-second trailer of his fantastic new movie, Infidel. Check this out.
This caused an international incident.
I can't give up on it.
This Friday, one man, one mission, one movie event that can't be missed. Infidel, rated R.
We're back with Dinesh D'Souza. Two new movies out, Infidel and Trump Card. We're talking about Trump Card now. You made a great point I had not considered. That, you know, we've had, you know, Reagan, George H.W., George W., and I'm a big Reagan fan. But, you know, you're right. They were, in some ways, given their history in politics, governor of California, you become a product of the system. You get used to focus groups, polling, political consultants. They're all sages, of course, that have been wrong 50% of the time. You know, I was listening to a great Econ Talk episode about the myth of the hot hand, how we're all fooled by randomness all the time. So, you know, the political consultant's right 50% of the time, but the time he is right, everybody thinks he's a genius. But how Trump, you said, this is great. He's in The Apprentice. He's into pop culture for years. He's listening to these focus groups like, what are you guys, insane? Like, I'm out there in the real world. They don't believe any of this crap. I remember Dinesh, after Mitt Romney's loss, I will never forget being in a group of Republicans where they were reading through this hot wash document and they were like, we should never talk about immigration again. It's a total loser. Everyone will lose. Trump runs on build a wall and wins an electoral college landslide. Is that the Trump card?
No, I was very struck when Trump called me to tell me about my pardon. He was describing the process of reasoning that led him to this conclusion. Now, if it was any other Republican, they would be like, well, Dinesh is a controversial figure. He went after Obama. How is this going to be received? What are people going to say? So this is Trump. He goes, I know all about your case. I knew all about it from the beginning. I knew all about it. I didn't have to look at it. He goes, I knew it was total and what I realized is that Trump is responding from a basic sense of injustice. And once that was implanted in him, nothing else mattered. He didn't care what the polls would say about it. His basic thing was an injustice has been done. I, Donald Trump, happen to be in a position where I can fix it. And so, Dinesh, I'm giving you a pardon in the morning. I didn't know the guy. I'd never met him. And so this was not a case where he owed me a favor. Not at all. In fact, I wasn't even one of the original Trumpsters. I was actually careful to stay out of the primaries because I was doing my movie on Hillary. I wanted to unite the Republican base. I endorsed Trump once he became the nominee, but not before. So he didn't owe me a thing, but he just felt it was the right thing to do. And he went ahead and did it. And I think that's how he does a lot of things.
You know, Dinesh, a lot of people have stories like that. They get lost in the, you know, bravado on Twitter, the people who just don't like him. I endorsed Ted Cruz. I didn't endorse Trump. I did not stay out of it. I endorsed his opponent. And you know, it was weird. After the election, I started to see that, put aside all the nonsense, that this guy's agenda, what he did actually mattered. And I agree with you. You know, the focus groups get in these guys' heads, these weak-kneed politicians, and they'll say, Dinesh, oh my gosh, he was on Fox once and said this. Believe me, I'm the same way. I am a hot-headed guy on my show. It's not a mystery. He's done my show three times. If that was a focus group tested politician, they'd say, Dan Bongino, you know, he's like pretty right. He screams a lot on his podcast. He's got these weird eyebrows, whatever. And that's just not Trump. And people haven't had that experience you and I have. And I think that's why there's that sense of loyalty there. I'm not suggesting he's perfect. Not everything he does is along the lines of a conservative presidency I'd like. But the deregulation, the three justices we hope to have, the hundreds of seats, the tax cuts, the stand against Planned Parenthood. I mean, Dinesh, how is he the first president, Republican president, to speak at the March for Life? How is that? I thought we were pro-life. How did we miss that?
For years, when it was, you know, Romney and even George W. Bush, who was a devout evangelical and a pro-lifer. But, you know, for him to just mention pro-life in the State of the Union, we would go into raptures of excitement, like he was handing us flowers and doing some unbelievable favor. But here comes Trump. And frankly, no pro-life group in the country, if they had been polled in advance, would have picked Trump to be their leader. But I think it has dawned upon them, even the most straight-laced, rosary-clutching pro-lifers realized this guy is the greatest pro-life champion of all time, even more than Reagan. And so you cannot discount that. And I think this has become the great embarrassment of the never-Trumpers, is that they have to acknowledge that this guy is not only a sayer, but a doer. And so it's very difficult to claim now. It's one thing if you said before, I don't think he's a conservative. He doesn't have a conservative record. He's not a loyal Republican. But to say those things now after 4 years, given also all that he has endured in the name of his philosophy. If Trump, by the way, wasn't a conservative, he would not be taking the heat that he's getting now. He's taking it because of his conservative philosophy. Remember, the same people liked him before. It's just that when they found out what he believed and what he was willing to stand up for, that's when they went into apoplexy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. The never Trump alleged conservative case is now just entirely laughable. I mean, the case consists, Dinesh, of almost entirely, you know, we have the sads about his tweets. Okay, you want to save infants' lives in the wombs? Like, get over it, fellas. I'm really sorry. I agree with you. Listen, I know you're busy. I'll leave you with this question, but it's a big one. And it's one of the things that's always attracted me to you and your speeches because they're so terrific, debunking silly liberal myths. So in your book about the dangers of social media, United States of Socialism, I know we did a whole interview on it. It was fantastic. That is the book. And that's what Trump Card is based on, correct? Yes. One of the things we talked about last time is you know, this myth, you brought it up before, of democratic socialism and how we should be more like Denmark. Well, the problem, Dinesh, is socialism has a very specific definition. The government control of the means of production. It's what it is. You don't have to like it, but that's what, in fact, it is. That can't possibly be democratic, number one. And the examples these so-called democratic socialists cite, like you said before, Scandinavia, Denmark, they're not socialist countries. Matter of fact, the leaders of those countries, they're big government countries, maybe nanny states, have said themselves, please stop slandering us. We're not socialists. So where, how are we losing this argument?
Well, first of all, at the very least, they are capitalist in wealth creation, even if they are somewhat socialist in wealth distribution. The second thing is that when they do have welfare state programs, they put the burden on the whole society. Their philosophy is we're all in this together, kind of like we're all in the same boat. So there's no idea that we have to rob Peter to pay Paul in the hopes of getting Paul's vote, which is basically the strategy of the left here. Notice that Biden will say, oh, I'm not going to raise taxes on anyone making under $400,000. In other words, we're going to rip off all the people above the line in order to give free stuff to the people below the line. The other thing to remember is that just because something has a majority vote doesn't give it any more moral sanction than if one guy did it. I mean, I like to use the analogy when I was a kid, I would go to school and for recess, I would take a bunch of marbles in my pocket to play marbles. Now imagine if one guy jumps on me and takes all my marbles, that's authoritarian socialism. Or I meet up with a bunch of friends, 10 guys, they take a vote, 7 of them decide, let's jump on Dinesh and take his marbles. Well, you've had a majority vote, but they're still taking my stuff by force. In either case, I'm being robbed. So whether I'm being robbed by one guy or whether I'm being robbed by 7 guys, there's essentially no moral difference, is there?
Dinesh, you're always just a tremendous guest. That's why my audience loves you. Folks, please, please, go. We have to support. We can't just keep talking about the culture. I know you know that. You have to go out there and do. Please go see Infidel. Pick up the DVD when it comes out. Rent it on pay-per-view. Get it on Apple Movies. See it 7 different ways. Go get Trump Card. See Trump Card. Talk about Trump Card. Review Trump Card on Rotten Tomatoes to prevent the liberals who haven't even seen it from trashing a movie they haven't even. They do that with my books. I hate it. Dinesh, thank you so much for your time. Pick up his book, United States of Socialism, too. Another life-changing read. Really good. Thanks, Dinesh, for your time. We'll see you hopefully for round 3 sometime.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Dan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for watching that interview with Dinesh D'Souza, one of our most popular guests. That's why we brought him back. Check this out, and I will see you all next week. Thanks for tuning into the show.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. For amber waves of rain.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
We are in a cold civil war. I see a threat to the very reason I came to America. Are we losing our country?
We must begin the work of dismantling the whole system of oppression.
Are we becoming the United States of Socialism? Who's behind it?
Our country should be more fearful of white man.
They control the black community. They control the black vote.
The president spoke tonight as if...
They don't want to hear the truth, the media. And I almost feel like they gloat when there's a mass shooting.
My hands are being put in handcuffs. My ankles are shacked.
A period of 18 months, I went through 23 different audits or investigations.
29 FBI agents with assault weapons.
Why it's evil.
Joe Biden offshored the corruption. He has become incredibly soft in his criticism of China.
The growth in China is overwhelmingly in our interest.
It is directly linked to the fact that his son was doing multiple deals with the Chinese government.
What is the fundamentalist and jihadi agenda for America?
The future of America has to be Muslim.
What you're saying is that there is serious Middle Eastern and specifically radical Islamic intervention into U.S. politics.
Exactly. And I think it's more dangerous than the so-called Russian collusion.
They want to beat us into submission.
And before I could even catch my footing, then all the hits kept coming.
They want to make us into worms.
How many fingers am I holding up, Winston?
Four.
Who will stop them?
That America will never be a socialist country.
You just heard Dan Bongino.